The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, it's 7:44. Good morning. How are you doing?
Boker Tov. I was just wondering if you have a TikTok account, Howard.
You know what?
I'm already prepared to admit that I don't.
I'm absolutely prepared to admit that I don't. I have specifically avoided having one. But I see that Naftali Bennett, look, I think he's brilliant because he is finding his audience where they are and not expecting
exactly.
them to come to him. I think it's absolutely genius. Do you want to tell people what we're talking about though?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was just going to say because we don't have TikTok accounts, we probably missed Naftali Bennett's presentation live Q&A session that he did yesterday. And of course, it was directed at Israel's youth, unsurprisingly, on that particular medium. And he was attempting to try to encourage youth to vaccinate. That was really the whole point, following on Dr. Myberg's point about there is no excuse not to vaccinate. So he was really trying to encourage young people to vaccinate. And he spoke about the 6 to 11 age category, because as of this moment, all Israelis 12 years old and over are entitled to get three vaccinations, everybody. And the rule about the third vaccination is that as long as 5 months have passed since your second vaccination, you are eligible to get a third vaccination and to get a booster in order to maintain your antibody levels. And Naftali Bennett was clearly trying to encourage young people to take up on this. And then he spoke a little bit about the 6 to 11 age category, and he said that he believes that the U.S. FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, will approve coronavirus vaccines for children aged 6 to 11 within the next 2 months. And then he went on to say that he's not prepared to go ahead to vaccinate Israel's 6 to 11-year-olds until the FDA approval is received. This is somewhat contrary to the approach that was taken previously, where we did go out, for example, and administer third doses before the FDA had approved it. The FDA has now approved that as well. So all of what we're doing now is in line with FDA approval, but he's saying that he's not prepared to preempt the FDA approval in the 6 to 11-year-old category, and is waiting for that approval. And we can be pretty sure that as soon as that approval is received, we will go ahead and vaccinate that age group as well. So he's already lining those children up, ready to get their vaccines. In the meantime, Israel handed out antigen tests to every single school-going child before the start of the school year. Those who are not vaccinated were expected to at least have an antigen test and to bring the results of the test along with them to school. Every child had to be tested in order to be allowed into school, as those who are not vaccinated. And of course, we know what the situation is with the children. So some quite stringent rules that have been laid down about children and what they ought to be doing under these circumstances.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. Look, the sooner we can get more people vaccinated, even the younger kids, the better, because at least that's, we do know that that's where a lot of the spread does come from.
True. I mean, you know, even though a lot of the younger people are potentially asymptomatic, don't really necessarily get very ill, seem to recover quickly. We've seen a few things. First of all, that they obviously can pass it on very, very easily. And the last thing we wish to do is expose our adult community to those children, even though they themselves are not suffering from it. And of course, the other point is that this Delta variant has shown that even children are not absolved, and that many cases of children becoming quite ill have been recorded. So we shouldn't necessarily assume moving forward that the children will not be part of this situation, and we need to already get them ready to, you know, participate in the vaccination. Even though I'm clearly, from people who've listened in, we will know that I'm clearly a pro-vaxxer. I do acknowledge that there are still quite a number of things about these vaccines that we don't know. I mean, I'm not prepared to say it's all just goodness and light. I mean, there is some you know, hesitation that I certainly have, but on balance, to me, it seems like a no-brainer in spite of those issues.
Absolutely. Prime Minister Naftali Bennett has appointed a new head of Shin Bet Security Services. What is known about the new head?
Well, we know that his name is Raish. Mm-hmm. And that's almost all we know about him. Not really. We know a few more things about him. First of all, we know that he will have his name revealed as soon as he takes up on his appointment as the head of the organization. So until then, he is only known as Raish. He is now the deputy head of the Shin Bet. And the interesting thing is that his opposition, his competition for this position, there were two people who were ultimately in line for the position. And the other person who didn't get the job is also called Raish. So we know a bit about those two people. Naftali Bennett, when he became prime minister, one of his first acts was to extend the term of existing Shin Bet head Nadav Argaman. He was due to have completed his term a few months ago. And Naftali Bennett, when he first took office, wasn't ready, to take such a significant decision in such an early period of his prime ministerial role. And so he extended Nadav Argaman for a few months in order to allow him to do a more extensive assessment and a search for the right person. Ultimately, a deputy head of the organization has been appointed. We are told that he's very experienced, that he's excelled in all of the roles that he has undertaken within the Shin Bet up until now, that he previously served in Sayeret Matkal, which is the elite unit of the IDF, the combat unit. Prime Minister Naftali Bennett was also a Sayeret Matkal soldier, so one wonders whether they might not know each other from way back when they were in the IDF. We also know that Defense Minister Benny Gantz is very supportive of this particular appointment, as is indeed Nadav Argaman, the outgoing head of the Shin Bet. When Prime Minister Netanyahu was in the role as Prime Minister, we understand that he was lining up to appoint the National Security Advisor, Meir Ben-Shabbat, to become the new head of the Shin Bet, and that was being opposed from various quarters, particularly by Defense Minister Benny Gantz. But this appointment seems to be very much a common agreement. Everybody seems to be quite comfortable. For those people who are not quite familiar with what the Shin Bet is and how it aligns up within the overall security context, Shin Bet is literally two letters short term for Sherut Bitachon, which means security service. And that organization is responsible for internal security within Israel. So it means any issues going on within the borders of Israel. And it also covers work that the security services do within the Palestinian Authority area and within Gaza. So those particular areas are covered by the Shin Bet. Anything that involves security services, spying activities, call it what you wish, outside of Israel's borders is undertaken by an organization called the Mossad. The Mossad literally means the organization. The word Mossad means organization. It's as generic as all of that. But the word Mossad, of course, has much, much greater connotations than its literal meaning of organization. When we say the Mossad, everybody kind of knows that we're not just talking about any old organization. So that's the way that things are working. Raish is apparently due to take up his role within the next few weeks. And at that point, we will know who it will be.
Incredible. It's really such a fascinating area of Israeli life. And one that it's quite interesting how people are, it's becoming a little bit more open, this whole area.
Very much so. Mm. Very much so. The head of the Shin Bet was never a person who is known in the public domain. Never. Now, that has changed. And as you've obviously picked up when I talk about Nadav Argaman, who has served as the head of the Shin Bet since 2018, we know him and we probably know where he lives. And many of us might have been to his family events and things like that, even though obviously there's a huge amount of security that's thrown around him as the head of the Shin Bet. But he is a public figure and his picture appears in the newspapers, and there seems to be little secrecy surrounding him. That's a new, relatively new.
I suppose it speaks to a level of, I suppose it speaks to a level of confidence as well.
I think it's about generating confidence within the people here who to know who the leader is, I think it gives a sense of confidence that they're willing to expose him so that we know who he is. We can feel confident. It does show a level of confidence. And of course, to those people who might want to do him some harm in his position, which is of course why his name would have been kept secret in the past. Mm. Well, it also shows that we're more confident about our ability to keep him secure. Mm. And so, you know, I think it just does show a different era that we live in, where transparency is so much more important these days and so much in demand than it used to be.
Absolutely. A summit will take place in Cairo today, amongst some of Israel's neighbors. What is the summit about?
So the summit is being held between the Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas with Egyptian President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi being the host of the summit, and Jordan's King Abdullah also due to attend. And we understand that the summit is really about trying to internationalize talks towards a two-state solution in the whole environment of new administrations, both in Israel and in the U.S. And so there seems to be some sort of a coming together of those three leaders to try to work towards a common standard of getting the talks between the Palestinian Authority and Israel back on the international agenda, revive the peace process in a sense. Apparently, there was some speculation as to whether Prime Minister Naftali Bennett may or may not have been invited to the summit. And that there was some a report in a London-based Arabic newspaper which said that Bennett had been disinvited from what would ultimately have been a quadrilateral meeting in Cairo. The Prime Minister's office denied that particular position. I don't know that Prime Minister Naftali Bennett would have been inclined to go to a meeting like this at this particular juncture. We know the kind of controversy that was created when Defense Minister Benny Gantz met earlier this week with, late last week with Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas. A lot of people were very, very concerned about that meeting. Prime Minister Naftali Bennett attempted to try to distance himself from that meeting, even though he clearly had approved it, and that was a published fact as well. So it's not exactly clear where all of this is going, but I think that the leaders of Israel's neighbors, Egypt, Jordan, and the Palestinian Authority feel that the time is right, and particularly the winds that blow through the U.S. administration are supportive of an idea of potentially getting talks back on the road, getting a little bit more cooperation going between Israel and the Palestinian Authority. It's going to be interesting to see how that pans out. Don't forget that Prime Minister Naftali Bennett is only in his position as Prime Minister for 2 years. He doesn't have a full 4-year cycle. Mm. So whatever he wishes to achieve or wishes to try to avoid doing will be relevant just for a 2-year period until Yair Lapid will take over as Prime Minister. And it's going to be interesting to see to what extent the policies might change, the attitudes might change. We are led to believe that Yair Lapid is very much involved in everything that Prime Minister Naftali Bennett is doing right now. Mm. And he has, according to the coalition agreement, some right of veto over certain critical issues, even now when he is not Prime Minister. So that is trying to send a message, I think, that the policies, the approach is not necessarily going to change substantially when the prime ministerial role is rotated. But certainly a change of scene right now with those leaders getting together in Cairo to see if we might be able to get some talks back on the road again.
Amazing. We don't have a lot of time, but the Israeli government is opposing the reopening of the U.S. Consulate General in Jerusalem. Why is there opposition?
So, again, this is a very interesting and controversial issue, and the position of the U.S. Consulate General in Jerusalem goes back to actually 1844, when the United States first opened a consulate in Jerusalem's old city for the first time. And then in 1912, the consulate was moved to its current position in Rehov HaGron, just outside of the city's walls in Jerusalem. But we know that the embassy, the U.S. embassy in Israel, has always been in Tel Aviv until the Trump administration decided to move the embassy to Jerusalem. And at that point, the work that went on at the consulate general was really rolled into the embassy, the new embassy that had been opened in Jerusalem. The main issue surrounding this consulate general office is that it's really been used to service the Palestinian Authority residents and use it as some sort of a diplomatic mission from the U.S. to the Palestinian Authority. And of course, it's very controversial that that's in Jerusalem, because the Palestinian Authority has laid claim to Jerusalem as its capital. Israel wishes to distance itself from that. So the fact that the U.S. has a consulate general in Jerusalem that potentially services the Palestinian Authority is really contrary to what everything that Israel would like. So the consulate general was closed down when it was all, well, at least was at least put out of service for a while when the embassy was opened. And now they're wishing to reopen it. And even Foreign Minister Yair Lapid is very much opposed to the idea.
And that's where we leave it, Anthony Reif. Thank you, as always, wishing you a Shabbat Shalom. Great weekend, but we'll still chat to you on Monday morning ahead of Rosh Hashanah. Hope you have a great one.